There's something that's happened over this nation in the last month in the area of the prophetic that has shifted so much in me personally and given me so much more permission and freedom to go with God, and that's he's come and he's extending that to all of us today. And I don't know where you are in your whole prophetic journey, and all of us have a prophetic journey because we are a prophetic people, but God is about to step it up a whole lot. It's like you're maybe now at a 10, you're going to 100. At least that's the invitation. And that's not necessarily that your words are going to be sounding any different necessarily. Hopefully they will, because we all grow in what we come with and what we deliver. But what's going to happen inside of you, where God is going to take you, and the place that you're going to speak from is entirely different than what it has been up till now. And already about 10, 15 years ago, there was a huge shift in the prophetic, and we began to understand that actually it wasn't our job to point the finger and judge, right? So we've sort of just got used to that, most of us. Not all, but most of us. We know it's not our job to judge. That's the job of God on the last day. But we're living in the last days, which means He's pouring out His Spirit on us, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, and all that. And we can all prophesy, and we can all dream dreams, and we can all prosper in spiritual things. That's the era that we're living in, and things are heating up. And tonight I just sense so much of the wildness of God. When I was worshiping, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I always see these Canada geese flying over, you know, because that's part of my understanding of wildness. They come and they go and they make all sorts of mess. They really do. You have no, well, you have a little bit of an idea because you have some Canada geese. In Canada, we have tons of them, and they're awful. And they honk and they honk and they honk, but they're faithful and they come back, and that you always know something's happening. The seasons are changing because the geese are back. That's how it goes. And the geese are back now because springtime has come. And they're back with their mess. And they're back with their loud noise. And it's very often a picture of the prophetic. You know, we just go with the season, and we make a mess sometimes, and we make a lot of noise, but everything changes. We know it's a new season because the geese are here, and God is being like that with us right now. He's letting us know that the geese are here, and He's not a nice little God who's all in a box and easily defined. He has an edginess to Him that He wants us not to be afraid to embrace. He's sometimes really strange, and He has strange people. I'm one of them, and I don't fit into a mold or a box, but I've tried my hardest to fit into a prophetic box. You can pull it down now. It's good. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I've tried my best to fit into a prophetic box, and the Lord just... Every time I do that and I just think, this is how I'm going to look, this is how I'm going to deliver things, this is what the prophetic is going to look like, the Lord comes along and shifts everything. And it's a good thing He does, but it means you feel very often like you're back at square one. Now, when Sean Bolts was in the country about 3 weeks ago, a month ago now, he said some things which were really good, and a lot of things were new to people. But what he released over us was permission to come up higher and to come and see things and operate in a different way. And when I came home from that conference that he was speaking at, I had to lie on a chair for 2 days because I was dizzy. And because my spirit had gone with the thing, with the Holy Spirit, with what he was releasing. And my body had to catch up. I seriously had a difficult time with like catching up with what God was doing. But inside, I was just rejoicing because I had been waiting for this change. It gives us permission to think, to speak of some things that we've been having to hold. And we've held them for a long, long time. But now we get to begin to share them. Because the invitation to all of us is to come into a new place. It's not just for the prophets. But there is going to be a significant change in the way prophets speak in this land. They're going to speak from a different place. So I want to just talk about, just for a few minutes, about the prophetic heart. This will take not very long, and it's just from one verse. And that's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And I think it's a little bit like us and what God is asking of us to be like at this point. And it says this in verse 2. It's the bride talking here. And I know the whole thing about the Song of Solomon, that it's, you know, your sex manual for marriage and all that thing. I get that, but that's not what I'm here for tonight. So just relax. Just calm down. It says this, I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. And I sense that's what the Lord is saying over you guys tonight. First of all, it says, she's saying, I slept, but my heart was awake. And just that business of the heart being awake, no matter what you're doing, is very, very important if you want to be a prophet, or if you are a prophet, or you want to move prophetically, which we all can do. Our hearts need to be awake, especially when we're in a season of change, which we're in right now. We have to be rested, but awake. And if you can't figure that out, neither can I, but it happens. And it's just a positioning of yourself before God. Like, I'm going to sleep now, and I know, Lord, these are my questions, and I know you're going to talk to me while I'm resting, while I'm sleeping. Or I'm at work today, and I have to accomplish this, this, and this. But I know you're going to be speaking to me constantly, 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 because my heart is awake. So keep my heart open and sensitive to you, to Holy Spirit, no matter what I find that I'm doing with my hands today, or even when I'm asleep. And because the heart was awake, we can hear the sound. And it says, my beloved is knocking. So we need to position our hearts so that they're awake, but they're also listening and alert. So, you know, it's a fully alive heart to the Spirit of God, fully alive, no matter what kind of position we find ourselves in. That means that no matter where we are or what we do, we have to have expectancy in our hearts. So who here expects to hear from God all the time, all day long, all evening long? Yeah, all of us can all the time. So there's a huge difference, as you know, probably, between a prophet and those who prophesy. And I don't know your situation here, who's a prophet and who isn't. I know on my team who's a prophet and who are people who are really skilled in prophecy. But we've often got those things mixed up. The thing that I want to impart to you tonight is that all of you can prophesy. And all of you need to be prophesying. And it's not just something for inside this building. It has to go everywhere. It has to spill out no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. And it doesn't have to sound like Jesus is right there all the time. We can release the word of the Lord without even telling people that we're releasing what God says. They actually don't always need to know, because maybe they're not ready. Because the word of God is alive and powerful, and it will accomplish what it was sent for. So one of the things we need to learn to do in this new era is learn to speak the word of the Lord, learn to release the word of the Lord in language that isn't churchy, language that people will listen to. And it may not always be with words. It might be with painting. It might be through baking cakes for someone. It can be a multiple of things. Like, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? Or what do you want for this person? And you need to do it, whatever he says. So prophetically, God wants us outside, not just inside. And all of us can hear God. Sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle that he would want to speak to us, or even, is it really him talking to me, or am I really seeing that? Those are hindrances that you and I need to get over. But God is going to release you in a greater measure to do that. And my prayer is that you'll also learn to do it without speaking in Christianese. Why don't we have a little practice? Stephen and Erica, if you would just come, because I know you're up for fun. Okay, now I want you both, these guys are both prophets, by the way, so they have a little, an edge. But it doesn't mean they're going to be more victorious in prophesying without using Christianese than you or I. It's very difficult. We think it isn't, but it's really, really difficult. So I would like you guys to pick someone, and each one of you, pick someone, and then bring them to the front and prophesy over them without using Christian stuff. So no going forth, for one thing. What is that all about? Who talks like that? Okay. No mantles. No saying washed in the blood, even though those are all good things. Nobody knows what that is. But they need to know and hear from God. So how would you do that? Okay, Erica, you go first. And it's okay if you make a mistake. We'll just giggle. Try not to. Okay, no cheating.
I just feel like you really have a soft heart and that you are really good at loving people. And people really like you and welcome you in easily because you're lots of fun and because you're just full of love. And I think being your friend would be really easy.
Okay, there you go. So wait, what did she communicate to her about God? Basically what she did was look at her with the eyes of God and then talk about what God saw in her without saying, God says, which can be very scary, right? Okay.
What's your name, sir?
Peter.
Hi, Peter. I see you're a man of courage and that you're on an adventure. And I think there's going to be some wonderful things that are happening in your life. And I can see... When I say wonderful, that's not a really, it's a bit religious, isn't it? That is a bit religious, a bit borderline. That's borderline, isn't it? Come on, guys, that's borderline, don't you think? Yeah, it's borderline. You're going to have a great time. God, that's difficult.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really hard. Okay, let's give him a hand. Prophesying can be that simple and that difficult at the same time. And what we want to do is take away the fear of Christians. Because you and I both know that sometimes when we see Joe Christian walking down the street and we know he likes to quote verses at us and all that, we walk on the other side of the street. Well, maybe you don't, but I certainly do. I can remember I had a pastor in Canada when I was young, and he was a great big happy Swedish guy, and he would yell hallelujah, and my friends and I we were in our early 30s, and we thought we were too hot for everything in town, and we would hear him miles away in the other end of the supermarket, and we would run and hide, you know. And it was like, get away from me, creature of darkness. And all he wanted to do was bless everyone. But that's actually very, very frightening. And when we're being prophetic, the old way of prophesying has built up such walls in people, such walls. And we want to find out ways of delivering the word of the Lord that will bring those walls down, you know, so that they'll stop thinking that the only reason Christians talk to people is so they can get them into the church or, you know, get them to repent. And, you know, like, we just want to learn how to release the love of God in easy and in palatable ways. Now, there are times when you need to say, this is from Jesus, or I am a Christian, and this is, you know, I believe God is saying this and this and this. So you need to learn to be talking to God at the same time as you're speaking out. Is this one of those moments when I'm to say, you know, why I'm saying this to people? The old guilt thing, there's this verse that the enemy uses to make us feel guilty about not always saying, I'm a Christian, and so, is that verse about, if you deny me before men, you know. And the enemy uses that verse, and it's just a religious thing to keep his word trapped. You know, the word of God is so big and so powerful. In the Old Testament, when it's talking about the tabernacle being built, everything was given exact measurements. Everything. You know, this has to be this high and this long and, you know, this cloth here and this color there and blah, blah, blah. But the laver, which was where the priests would go to wash, was given no measurements at all because it represented the word of God. And that was because you cannot measure or decide or understand the power of that word. You have no idea how far it will go or what it will do in people's lives. It's multi-layered and you just cannot measure it. So for example, I had a friend who lost a baby. It died when it was in her womb and she had to carry it full term, and it was just born, and I think it lived it didn't die in her womb. It lived for about 20 minutes. It was really very, very sad. And I remember being at a sort of a praise evening in their home, and someone had a vision. It was the word of the Lord for that couple, and they shared it, and it was very meaningful. There happened to be an artist in that room, and that artist went and made a huge painting of that word. So it became, first of all, it was a spoken word, and then it became a painting on the wall, still meaning the same thing. But then other people came into the house and they saw that painting, and God spoke to them out of it because the painting was actually the word of the Lord with no written words. And God spoke to them out of that and it meant something else. And that's how it works. It goes on and on, and then that person who it meant something else would go and tell someone else about that painting. And it would mean something else again or touch something else in their hearts. That's what the word of the Lord is about. It's endless. And that's why it's so important that when we speak to people in our everyday lives, just in our regular way, that we learn that it has its own power. We don't need to help it along. It's like something we've never understood in our lives. We don't need to explain it. That's where prophets get in trouble, always trying to explain what they see, instead of just releasing it and let Holy Spirit explain it. So if you're thinking something, and you're feeling, I don't know why, I'm just sensing I need to say this to that person, just take a risk and say it. And then let Holy Spirit interpret that for them. Sometimes God will give you the interpretation. You know, as you grow in your skill, that will happen at times. But it isn't always necessary. I've been doing prophecy stuff since I was very little. I've had a lot of practice because I'm not very little any longer. And so sometimes God trusts me with a little bit more or something a little different. So if you're just starting out, don't feel bad if you don't sound like me or you don't look like me or you don't, well, that's, you know, don't feel bad about that. But don't feel bad if the way you say something to someone doesn't seem to be the same way that the next prophet is doing it. You're all unique. You've been given your own words for people. You've been given your own heart. And God knows who to match you up with. He knows who to put you on the street beside. He has a whole metron for you to speak into. Having said that, a metron, by the way, is your sphere of influence. Having said that, you know, I was talking about the wildness. I was sensing very strongly that the Holy Spirit was going along our borders, along your metron, and changing it tonight. There was a real shape changing going on in this place, in individual lives and in the lives of this house. I could see, it was like I could see, you know, the field of, whoa! You know the field, sorry, don't worry. You know the field of that Ruth went to work in. Okay, and Boaz says, you work in there because I've told the people not to, my workers not to molest you while you're in that field. I felt like you've been in that field, but now the field is being stretched and it's changing. There'll still be safety there as long as you stay in your metron, but for a little while you're not going to be too sure where that metron is. And it's like, ooh, there used to be a fence here, but suddenly now it's not there. That means that God's expanded it for whatever reason, and you step into sort of a freedom. And sometimes it actually literally feels like you can't find your footing. You don't know where to place your feet. In the spiritual realm, that's what it's like. That's happened to me several times when my borders get extended. It's like, good heavens, it's like quicksand, you know, and to find how to stand in that new place is different because over here is what it used to be. But now you're going to have to find new ways, and you have to almost find your balance in a new place. So that shifting is going on in some of you. And the reason God will send us into a place actually is to release change. He'll always send a sore group into a place where there's incredible change going on. And there's like tons of angels in here tonight just moving on you. Each one of you, as you're sitting there and as I'm speaking and as the team was praying over different ones of you, there's just change. Now, some of you will resist that, but some of you are going to embrace that, and it's going to feel, it's going to feel good and scary and fun, all of those things at the same time. Okay. Who in this room is used to prophesying? Who does it regularly? Way up. Oh. So, okay, let's do it this way. Who isn't? Okay, that's who God's coming after tonight. Tomorrow will be something different. But tonight I really felt to get you activated. Okay, and activation in the prophetic is very easy, and I brought along some things to help. So, prophecy is just listening to God, using your spiritual ears, and then telling the person next to you or whoever what you hear. It's very, very simple. It's something that everyone can do because we hear his voice. We belong to him and we hear his voice. He talks to us. We talk to him. We have a relationship, an intimate relationship, and it's that simple. Sometimes he speaks to us through a picture we see on a wall. Sometimes you'll see a sign on the bus as it goes by, and the Holy Spirit will quicken that to you, and you'll think, oh, that's just like God. Sometimes I remember when I used to live in the Netherlands, going on a bike ride and seeing this little old church, and I think they do that here in England too, and there were sheep cutting the grass outside the church. And as I was riding by, the Lord, this was about 15 years ago, as I was riding by, the Lord said to me, that's exactly where the sheep belong, outside the church. You know, and I thought, oh, that's the word of the Lord. And I got renewed energy, and I just, everyone, oh, did you know I saw the sheep outside the church? And that's exactly where they belong. You know, and at that time, we weren't comfortable with being outside of the church. We wanted to do all our prophesying and all that kind of stuff inside the church, because there it was more holy and more acceptable. But we're supposed to be risk takers. Even the most introverted of us are designed to be risk takers, to go to the limit. And it's scary and it's fun. It really, really is. I mean, that's how worlds come alive. That's how nations stand up and nations are born and nations come into their identity by taking risk. So all of us are risk takers. We're called to be risk takers. And prophecy is taking a risk. And you know what? If you get it wrong, it doesn't make you a false prophet. It really doesn't. It just means you're someone who got it wrong. Ha 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 ha. Oh well. Think of all the other things in your life that you get wrong all the time. It's just like that. You forgot to put salt in your recipe. And your family's mad at you because it tastes disgusting. Oh well. Add your own salt. You know, like, it's that simple. And we've taken prophecy and made it this impossible thing. We've made it impossible and we've made it inaccessible. And it isn't. Or we've made it for those crazy Holy Ghost type people. And we're Anglicans. Or we're, you know, By the way, before I moved to England, which is now 3.5 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said that he was going to give the Church of England a second chance. This is in case any of you are from that church, and that the English church had better get ready for that. Ha ha! And now we have, who do we have for a Archbishop of Canterbury? It's amazing. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I think we all need to be aware and to be praying for that church, because if you want to take a nation, you have to take the national church. That's just how it works. It has to come alive. And so we're praying for the Anglican church. And if you're Anglican here, you need to be prophesying, releasing the word of the Lord into that atmosphere, into that matrix. Fabulous. Okay, but what I have here, we're going to do, before we go any further, a little activation. Now, these are my cards that freak people out. So we're going to use them in a safe manner tonight, because this is my first time here. And I want to come back one day. Oh, no, I want to come back tomorrow. So, you know how I talked about earlier about a breakthrough with how you see things? Okay? So these are pictures that I use for people to become more involved in the prophetic. And let's see, who can I get this time? Let's see. Linda. This is my assistant, Linda. Everybody, love on Linda. Yay! Okay, so if I would give you this card, and you would look at it, and you were going to talk to me. So what God is going to do, what the Holy Spirit is going to do, as she looks at the picture, is going to give, he's going to use it as like a trigger to help you listen to God, to help you talk to God. And she's going to tell me what she thinks God is saying from that picture. Now, first of all, you need to describe to them what the picture is, because they can't see it.
It's a picture of stairs, and there's an open doorway at the top going into the heavenlies. And so from this picture, God is calling you higher, because he's got some new things for you to see. Mm-hmm. That's it. God's calling you higher.
Okay,
go for
God's
it.
God's calling me higher. See, so that's, and I accept that, because I know that is true. And she didn't have, thank you, she didn't have to do a great, big, long, devotional. Because a lot of us prophetic people, we're really bad. We talk nonstop. It's really annoying, I know. But when we deliver the word, we think that we have to go on and on and on and on, right? But God doesn't want us always to do devotionals. He wants us to just speak the word. So I'm going to hand out these cards, and we're going to, or someone here, maybe you can hand them out. Everyone, I hope there's enough. And you're going to get with someone who also will have a card, and again, you're going to speak to them. Now, before you had a verse or a psalm to speak out of. Now you're going to have a picture, and again, I want you to go to someone who you don't really know. I'm hoping you don't know people here. And or someone who you don't hang out with, so you know all their stuff. And I want you to use the card as like an aid or a help to prophesy to the next person. So look at the card and ask the Lord, what do you want me to say to this person from this picture? Does everyone have one yet? If you have one already, if you have a card, they're coming. If you have one already, please, you can start finding someone to prophesy to. So Matt, you can't prophesy to Amy. That just would not be fair. Because, what if you would just step over the line and say, I knew, I was telling you, you shouldn't be doing this. She'd have to rise up as an independent woman and just put you in your place. That would just never do. Okay. Does everyone have one now? All right, everybody up. Because we all came here to get a word tonight, right? Or 10. Okay, go ahead, find somebody and choose a partner. Do you need somebody to prophesy to? You're waiting for someone? Oh, you're asking God. Okay. That's all right. Does anybody need a partner? Be brave. Go out on a limb. Remember, it needs to be encouraging. When you're all done, just go back to your seats. Okay, who was encouraged by the word they received? Okay, three people up here real quick to the mic, and let's just have, you can come and share a little bit about what happened. Be brave and run to the front all at once. This is your chance to get the mic. I can see Diane really wants to come running. No, I'm kidding. Just grab that mic there. Whatever blessed you.
Yeah.
Just wait. Remember, not a devotional.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Sure, okay. Yeah, I will not preach.
Yeah.
Diane had a card with a person's outline on it, and it looked like they were on fire, quite honestly. And she said that she believed the Lord would give me a new dance.
Whoa!
And that, and I'm saying I'm not retired, I'm refired. And it really looked like it there. Yeah, it was really good.
Wow.
Yeah, a new dance.
Okay, so what do you think that means, a new dance?
Well, I think it's back in 2013, I had heart failure. I was in a wheelchair for a while, had to be pushed around, and now I'm back completely fit, doing exercises every morning near enough, and definitely not in a wheelchair anymore. God's got me going again, and I'm starting to go out in ministry again. So,
okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so that was right on, right? Yeah.
I think it means more than that, but we'll just let God go with that.
Thank you. I want to tell you what the Lord gave me for Val. I've got a picture here of snow, so pure white snow, and a lovely dog, furry lovely dog, and it's really beautiful. And the Lord laid on my heart to say to Val that God is going to make you so pure, pure as the white snow, and your heart so soft as the dog's coat, which is silky and so, so soft. And the Lord gave me, I shouldn't say that, should I, the Lord? No,
you can do it. We were practicing out on the street.
So the Lord was saying that's what he wants to do for Val. Make her as pure as the white snow, the beautiful white snow.
So who's Val?
That's Val.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's a sponge for the Holy Spirit.
Ho! Yeah. Anyone else? One more.
Hi. Ambrose gave me this nice card with a map of the world and an aeroplane on it. And Ambrose said, you're going to take light to wherever you feel that you need to go to and take light to those people. And I thought that was really good. I thought I'd take that. God's been showing me some things, and he showed me something really good the other day. And I said, that's really good. I'll be doing that all the time. And God said, no, you won't. You're never going to do that again. I'm going to find new things for you to do. So that kind of fits in with what God's saying to me. So that's really good. And bless you, Ambrose.
Okay, did you enjoy that? Who didn't enjoy that? It's okay, you can put your hands up. Okay, so I would like the cards back, so please just pass them to the ends of the row. I want to tell you a little bit about a dream that I had, and some of you have heard this before, so bear with me, but I think that it's something that God is calling us to as prophetic people. here and, you know, around the nation and actually around the world. But I'm going to speak it out everywhere I go so that, you know, the Lord can do with it what he wants. And I was in this dream. They're called lucid dreams. So you're in the dream, but you're acting in the dream. Like you're totally involved with the dream and you're in conversation. And yeah, it's like very, very real. And I found myself in this dream in the basement of, I don't know what it was. It was like a cellar and it was very old and it was musty. There was cobwebs. There was little tiny windows. They were closed. There were crates, old crates. There was a bench against one wall, and I was down there by myself, and it was difficult to breathe. There wasn't a lot of air, and I couldn't get out. The door was jammed shut. It was completely, completely shut. And I realized I was in a wine cellar, an old wine cellar. And I tried and tried and tried and tried to open the door, and I couldn't get it open. And I was struggling hard to do that, and you know how when you're stuck in something, there's trouble that goes on inside of you, and I was getting a little anxious, and I couldn't breathe. I was just, you know, so I thought, oh, I'd better just lie down. There's nothing I can do, so I'm just going to lie down and go to sleep. And so I did that. I went and laid on that old bench and just gave up, really, and just lay there and thought, well, this is it unless something happens. And I actually went to sleep. And all of a sudden, I heard a banging of the door. I don't know if you've ever woken up at night and you hear banging. And I heard banging. And I thought, what is that? And I didn't want to get up because I was actually comfortable by then. And I was like, oh, brother, you know, and now the door is banging. And I got up finally and I thought, why is that happening? I couldn't open the door. And I realized as I stood up, because I was underneath one of those open windows, that the window had blown open, that a huge wind had come, and the window had blown open and had blown and opened the door. And there was just a swirl going on with this wind. It wasn't just one coming in this way. Once that door was opened, the wind was just blowing round and round and round like this. And I went towards the door, and as I did that, I was caught into some kind of a vortex, and I just was taken with the wind, and I was found myself in a new place, and I knew it was like the crystal sea, you know, that you read about in Revelation, around the throne of God. And I was like, how did I get here? And there was like the throne of God, and there I began to see things and feel things and experience things and understand things that I had never ever seen before, when I had been drinking wine in the cellar kind of thing. And I knew that this was a picture, oh, of where God is taking the prophetic. And it was like there I was, like in perfect covenant, surrounded by the rainbow colors of God, and which speak of so many, many, many things, but even more than anything, the covenant he has with us. Like there I was as a prophetic person before the throne of God, and knowing I was just in communion with him and suddenly understanding. And I realized that he'd shifted me from being a prophet into this of who would give the word of the Lord, into a place where I could be a prophet who began to speak from an elevated sense of revelation, which is completely different. I mean, I shouldn't say completely different, because it's all revelation, but it's a different level of revelation. And much of the revelation that we've been hearing in the land has been spoken from this level, but now God's saying, I want you from this level. And the difference is that when we're speaking from this level, or where we have been, very often, and I'm not being critical when I say this, but we have been speaking to the need of people. We've been speaking to situations. We've been pointing the finger. We've been doing that kind of thing. And we haven't been saying, behold the Lamb. And when you come from around the throne of God and you're consumed with who he is, you begin to come into the real purpose of the prophetic movement, which is to say, behold the Lamb. You know, so he's calling us to a higher and a different place. It doesn't mean we won't speak comforting words or things like that, but there's going to come such a revelation that it's going to shift the prophetic from being just speaking comfort and exhortation and courage to speaking, behold the Lamb kind of words. There's a difference, and I can probably talk more about it tomorrow, but the shift inside of me was so great. And I began to see things that I had never seen before and understand things that I had never, ever understood before. In fact, there were questions inside of me that I hadn't even been able to ask, but they were there. And I didn't know how to put words to them, but when I got there, when I was taken by this wind to this place before the throne like that, I didn't even have to answer the questions. This revelation just consumed me. And I woke up thinking, that's it. And I knew it had taken place in my life. And I knew that I had been shifted supernaturally by the Spirit of God. And that's going to happen to each one of you as you say yes to the Lord in different ways. But if you're a prophet, that needs to happen. And if it hasn't happened, you need to ask God to shift you by the winds of His Spirit into that place. It's a place of revelation like no other. When I was at a conference in the States, one time, Bobby Connor conference. Well, actually, it was a Patricia King conference, but Bobby Connor was a speaker. And he's like, this is our token Bobby Connor lookalike. And do you all know who that is? Okay, he's a prophet in the United States who looks like Alan. Please stand up so everyone can see now. He totally looks like him. He's a big Southern Baptist dude. You know, he's like, and he's like, you know, I'm a cowboy, you know. I'm from Texas. Or anyway, there. No, yeah, I guess that isn't the time to talk about those things, right? But anyway, he was preaching away and, you know, and he was talking about how most of the people in the body of Christ don't have a clue what they're supposed to do. You know, what they're about, who they are, and what they're supposed to do. And I was listening to this and thinking, man, I better think of what, you know, in case he would ask, I know what I do. I prophesy, you know. And he wasn't asking people. And he came down from the front just like this. And he went to me and he came and I was sitting there and he goes, you. And he pointed his finger at me and he goes, what do you do? And I was like, oh, God, help. And there's like Bobby Connor. And I said, I prophesy. And then he goes, you do you? And I was mortified. And then he started muttering some kind of stuff I didn't understand. And he goes, you don't want to put yourself in that box. You don't want to put yourself in that box. Revelation, that's the ticket for you. Revelation, that's. And then off he went. And I thought, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. I don't have a clue. And I, after this dream, that came back to me, and I had a clue. And it was, I'm sure, 7 years ago that happened, and I was totally humiliated. I was like so embarrassed, because afterwards people came up to me at the conference and lined up because they wanted me to prophesy over them. And I was like, oh, for goodness sakes, you know, I shouldn't have said it. I should have said I'm a cook, or or I raise children, or, you know, I should have. But I thought I was being smart. But it was God's purpose, because He declared something over me that eventually I would understand. So don't ever put yourself in a box that will limit you, even when it comes to prophecy. I don't do this. I don't do that. This is the way I deliver the words. This is the way I hear. This is the way I see. Let God shift you from what has been presented to you as a prophetic box or definition. Let God shift you into His definition for you, what He has for you. Let Him shift you from something that's good into something that's better. It said, you know, all these American people I know, and I'm not one, by the way, I'm British. Don't I look British and sound British? I am. my American friends tell me that being an American means you take what's good and you see how you can make it better. So, for example, you have ice cream sundaes with brownies underneath and bananas and fruit and three kinds of sauce on the top. And then you look at it and you go, if you're an American, how you can make it better? What can you add that to make that that's already good better? And that's how we're supposed to be with the things of God, with the things he's given us. We must never be satisfied. We must always want more. We have to allow that divine agony that keeps us longing for more and more of God to come into the way we operate and let us have the keys, the revelation of who God is, so that we can make what's already good much better. That's how that works. We don't want it to be boring. It can't be boring. It has to be alive and full of life. That's what God wants for us. So you watch. You know, if you've been moving prophetically for a little while, it's going to change if you want to be effective. Sorry. He's going to get the giggles. It is going to change. And you're just going to think you have a handle of it, and the angels of the Lord are going to come into your house and pack up all your stuff and say, no, you're not doing it that way anymore. And they're going to release new manuals to you, because that's what they do. Look at that. It's true. It's true. Whoa! Yep. Yeah. So, whoa. Yeah, the lady in the blue, what is your name? Susie. Just a sec. I just want her to check something. No. I actually feel you're one who God's going to give incredible revelation and understanding to. And I don't know if you're open to that kind of thing or where you are on that kind of a journey, but I feel like God wants to talk to you in some significant ways. And I feel sense also that sometimes you feel very different than other people, that, yeah, maybe I don't fit, maybe I don't belong, but I feel like God is going to do something in your heart that's going to release you from that kind of feeling or that kind of thought. And he's going to give you unique ways to share with people who actually need to hear and understand what God's doing. And I see you doing that actually not within church walls. I see you doing that in cafes or in the shops or, you know, just through your daily life. Like God's going to give you words that are like seeds. Does that make sense? Like, and you just plant the seed, and you don't necessarily need to water it or wait for it to grow. Just like throw the seed, throw the seed, throw the seed. And I think that's very cool. Yeah. Whoa! And there's something about your personality that's fiery as well, and determined, and oh, and stubborn. Like, I just... Oh, is he your husband? Oh, well, okay, well, you're not allowed to comment. Yeah. There's something about you that's determined and fiery, and God's going to take that and temper it, and he's going to use it to encourage people who are really discouraged and actually think that they don't have a lot of hope. And God is going to use your determination to get some people through some really tough spots. So keep it up. Keep that up. And be willing. There's a willingness in you, I think, to go to people like that who are really broken and who don't understand their purpose in life or why was I even born, that kind of thing. And you're going to have water for them and seeds of hope. Just seeds. You don't have to have big, long things, just seeds. And it will change people's lives. And one day I think you're going to hear stories of you know, how you came along. Susie came along at just the right moment. Yeah, that's okay. You can cry. You know, you're going to be one who came along at just the right moment, and it's going to actually save people's lives. Yeah. That's what the prophetic is for. To save people's lives. And the reason these two are going nuts is because we were, sorry, I just have to tell you this so that you know we're normal people. Hush. We were sitting in Costa before we came here, and we were pretending we were periscoping to the world. And we were pretending that, you know, we were talking about what we wanted, like those women, what are they called here in England? The loose women? Yeah, the loose women, except we're not very loose. But, or the women on The View. I think in North America it's The View. Yeah, The View. So we'll use that. And we were periscoping to the world that we were women. And we were having a competition as to Erica wanted people to cry, because then she would know God was touching them. And I was like, I want them to laugh. Then I would know. So that's why they're giggling. It's nothing offensive. It's they're really thrilled because they feel that God has touched you because you had tears. That's one of the many ways to respond to a prophetic word. It shows that her heart is soft. Some people laugh. It shows that their heart is soft. And some people do nothing. And I'm not sure what that shows, but sometimes it shows their heart is soft. Sometimes it means that they are so gobsmacked with what they've heard that they don't quite know what to do. Because it's a process. Sometimes when you hear the word of the Lord, it's not easy for everyone who's not used to hearing from God to receive it, to absorb it. So you need to give people a grace like that. And never come off as someone religious or, you know, more holy than the next and that. Like, I try very hard just to be myself with all of you. Because we've come out of an era where prophets are the holy people of God. And, you know, they're afraid. People are afraid of us because we see things or, you know, and they keep the distance very often. And that's not what God wants. He wants us all to be a family. It's all about family. So that's why you're soft-hearted. Okay, I'd like my team to come up here. If they have a word for someone, now's your chance. Or you can come up here if God has something that... come on up, you guys.
Can they use that one?
Yeah, we can use this one. You can do that, or what if you have a word that you want to release to people, anyone? Like anyone on the team I'm talking now. Come on. Quick. Oh, goodness sakes.
Is there a Kathy here with a C? Or someone in your... There's someone in the church?
Well, tomorrow.
Okay, so we'll bring it tomorrow. Is there a Rodney here? No? Or Max? Okay. Or Sonia? No. Okay,
those are... Erica brought those from her home church in Canada. She had a whole bunch of them, 20-something. And from her prophetic group at her church. And they had written cards with people's names on them. And there's just a few left, so we brought them to Essex. Anyone else have something to say? Nobody? Okay. Then what I would like to do now is for everybody to, if you would like a prophetic word and you have a phone with you and you would like it recorded, I would like you to go and line up around the wall. Jump up. This is encounter, so we want to release as much to you as we can. If you'd like a prophetic word, and our team is going to come around and they're going to prophesy over you. Just quick prophecies, 3 minutes long. So just line up against this wall if you can. If you can't get there, someone will come to you, but... Okay, and I would like the team just to start going and just short words, 3 minutes, no longer. And then move on. Don't say, my name is Belinda and I need prayer because I have a broken leg. Don't say anything about yourself. Don't say, I need prayer because of this, this, this. Just let them prophesy to you out of what they sense God is saying and doing. Okay? Okay, go for it. And if you're a couple, you don't get couple prophecy, you get single person prophecies. So, you guys don't want words? You got enough words?